Father God, we just seek you now, believing in the word of God that you've given us, Lord, to save us, to change us, to transform us from that which you will have nothing to do with as a fallen creature that fell from God, that took the bait of the serpent to believe that I could be independent and try to do things my way. Father, we just come to you now realizing that we can't do anything. Lord, you said, without me, you can do nothing. God, that's where this is all headed for those of us that are sincere, just truly acknowledging that, God, we got nothing. All we can do is rely on the Spirit. Those of us that are charged with bringing forth messages and praying, God, we just want to do it in your will, Lord. We just want to do it in your will. We want to be in your will. We want to be filled with the Spirit, Lord. We come against all powers of darkness that try to stop the message of the gospel from getting into people's hearts. We bind the devil as he tries to get into those hearts and snatch that word up. We curse the devil right now in the name of Jesus. Believe in God that you are all holy, almighty, and have power over the devil. And God, we seek that power so that we can be overcomers, that we can truly, not even of our own strength, just submit to you, God, yield to you totally, so that we'll just disregard everything in the world and just seek you. We seek you, Lord, and ask you now to enter into the hearts and the minds of your people, to inspire us to do the things necessary to bring forth the end of the age and to show the kingdom of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, for all eternity. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. So we're going to just talk about thoughts. That's the topic for tonight, is thoughts. So I just want to ask you something. Think about thoughts. What are thoughts? You know, we always talk about the mind, and the battlefield in this warfare is the mind. And there's no getting around this in the Bible. If you read the New Testament, especially, all through the New Testament, we're talking about dealing with the mind. So many of the types and shadows in the Old Testament are dealing with the mind. You know, the symbolism of the stone that the Goliath threw at the giant, or that David threw at the giant Goliath. It was just the one stone, and it was embedded, ended up being embedded into his head. So that's where the weapon was forged, against the mind of the devil and the mind of the world, so to speak, the beast. The world is a system. It's a person in the incarnate Antichrist himself, and it's a nature that we are born with. Every single person on earth is born with this nature, and ultimately it takes humility to see that. So that's what we're after. All this is about humility and essentially being able to govern our thoughts. So just to think about thoughts, in the Old Testament, obviously, if you're thinking about thoughts, then the primary mechanism or the generator of those thoughts would be the mind. That seems to be where thoughts reside. You know, it's almost as like, if you just, what I want to ask you to do is, through the course of your upcoming days, if you think about this, just focus on your thoughts. You just sometimes even just close your eyes, and just, when you think about things, this is an example of what I was doing, trying to, and I don't know that anybody can actually accomplish this or not, or if it's possible. It may be possible, because the human potential is extraordinary, because God created us. We have extraordinary potential. Obviously, mankind has done extraordinary, almost supernatural things, especially in the last, this last few, since the 1900s. It's almost like, we went through civilization, even if you just march on forward from the time of Jesus and his crucifixion and ascension 2,000 years ago. If you plow forward from there and you end up getting to, say, the 1800s, not much really changed. There was not a whole lot of progression taking place technologically. Life was relatively simple, and there weren't any, super spectacular revolutions or, industrial advantages that were given until you started breaching into the 1900s. So there must have been some sort of a major infusion of something that enabled humanity to just seemingly all of a sudden, just with the flip of a switch, turn on this generator that produced all kinds of advances that were, you're talking about almost overnight, you end up with like the steam engine, and then you end up with, electricity, telephone, where, hundreds of years before that, we're just building log cabins and, Conestoga wagons, and, guys are wearing powdered wigs, back in the 1700s, and horse-drawn carriages, pretty limited capabilities. But then all of a sudden, I believe there was a gateway opened up that brought forth this technology, and that brought forth, some of it may have been inspired by the Lord, I'm sure, but a lot of things that we're dealing with, especially now, are mutations. Now I just read that they're talking about making a wine that's based on marijuana. What are they doing? What in the world's going on here? But if you think about thoughts, how multifaceted are we? Are we capable of simultaneous thoughts? If you sit down and think about something, it's almost like you can hear your mind narrate. If you're focusing on something, you can almost hear like an audible voice. If you're focusing on maybe it's even work and preparation for a meeting or something like that, and you're going over notes, and even when you're reading, that's a form of thought because you're actually interpreting the words, and you can, even if you're not speaking, it's almost like an audible voice that's in you. And the thinking process is just amazing. But hopefully through the scriptures we can get more intuition about how we can actually govern our thoughts and where God wants us to be, where he wants our thoughts to be. And that only can come by aligning ourselves with him, because God knows everything. He knows everything about everything. He knows the future. He knows the past. And human beings have to be able to deal with that. Everybody's going to have to deal with that one way or the other. Whether it's during their lives or afterwards, they're going to have to deal with God. They're going to have to deal with Jesus Christ. And you don't want to be somewhere thinking something that's not real. You don't want to be deceived, because thoughts can be deceptive. We can be self-deceived. So honesty really comes into play with this. When you're walking with the Lord, you just have to be honest and just acknowledge the fact that I got nothing. I got nothing, Lord. I come to you broken, and I just need you to tell me what to do. Adam and Eve were just statically linked to the Lord through the Holy Spirit. They were in total covenant, didn't even care about anything down here. Naked, not even knowing they were naked, just totally dependent on God until this interruption came. And it interrupted that that connection, and it cut it. So now we're on our way back. That's the whole mission. We're lost sheep trying to find our way home. And the only way that's possible is through the Holy Spirit and this Word. The Word and the Spirit bringing forth life to reform our minds. That's the primary goal. God can heal. He can do these physical things, but ultimately we're talking about an inner work. It's an inner working of a nature that then transcends into the thought processes and how we think and what we think. And a lot of that is relying on what we ingest. That's why we got to narrow this down, seriously narrow this down to God and heavenly things. So, the mind as the mechanism through which thought is conscious. We're conscious of thoughts in our mind. It's a spiritual arena. It's not your brain. Your brain is just an organ that actually helps operate your body. It's really part of the nervous system, to where it deals with coordination and balance and those kinds of things, voluntary and involuntary mechanisms in our body that the brain deals with. There are, feelings and whatnot, but these are all spiritual, and these have to deal with the mind and the soul and the heart. And those are the three things that really kind of bring about a better understanding of how God is, being triune, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and how He made us with a body, with a soul, and with the Spirit. And then you have an even perhaps deeper layer of that, which would be the heart, the soul, and the mind. It's almost like they're all encapsulated and together inside of one another, one, and then an inner, and then yet another inner. So it's like three different parts. So in the Old Testament, I'll just run through a couple of definitions of the mind. So you have the word mind. When you see the word mind in the Old Testament, we see heart, we see breath. In this one, to me, is striking. In Leviticus chapter 24, verse 12, the phrase "the mind of the Lord" is used. Let's just look at that real quick. Leviticus 24, verse 12. That's a good sounding combination right there. 24:12. And they put him inward, that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. The mind of the Lord, in that word there, the definition is mouth. That's fascinating. But that gives us a lot of insight as to the mind of the Lord. And God speaks. He speaks. Everything about God has to do with speaking the Word of God, Jesus Christ, and the thoughts of God, the mind of God. So this is something that you really got to think about as a human being, just to the simple idea of, what am I? Who am I? What am I doing here? What's my purpose here? There's got to be more to this than just, living and dying, And this is what the gospel's about, is to try to get people to see this, that God is looking to resurrect the human race. God would desire that all would be saved. But there has to be a resurrection that takes place from this death. When God told them, He warned them, if you partake of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. That's what He said. That was the rule. That was the law at that point. There's no getting around that. God said it and He meant it. You will surely die. So the human race is essentially dead. We are the walking dead. And everybody's just living life to the fullest and doing whatever they can do to get by with no perception of God. And a lot of that is by design, by the designs of Satan and his kingdom of darkness, to keep people from the knowledge of the truth, to keep people from knowing their potential, knowing that they can be born again and have everlasting life. What's so wrong about that? Why would anybody want to reject that? Why would people want to just continue to believe that they're just going to die and go to heaven? You have no foundation for that. You have absolutely no foundation for that. It's just what you want to believe. That is so arrogant. It's just absolutely arrogant, and pride, the Bible says, is an abomination. God resists the proud. He only gives grace to the humble. So right now is not the time to be all proud. You know, there's too many Christians that are just proud. They'll just sit there and argue and go back and forth about their points and what they believe, even to the degree that they believe that the King James only version of the Bible is the only valid Bible version to read and all others are of Satan. And, you know, that's just, come on, man. We got to have the Holy Spirit. We got to have the Holy Ghost to lead us and guide us into truth. The Holy Ghost has already laid forth a lot of stuff in the King James that just, you know, it's almost like God would say, you know, if I had my way, I wouldn't have written that exactly, but God has a reason for allowing things to happen. So, you know, you just go with the flow. You just go with the flow. All right, so we'll go into the New Testament, and there's actually more description when it deals with the mind. And I didn't have the time, obviously, to go through the whole Old Testament, but I just grabbed, I went a little ways through just looking at different words, and primarily had just those few: the mind, the heart, the breath, and then that one that was just the mouth, when it was referring to the Lord himself, the mind of the Lord. But in the New Testament, the word mind translates to deep thought, sound mind, sane, deals with remembrance. It deals with being deliberate and considering. It deals with predisposition. It deals with readiness. And breath. Now, if you can probably make a pretty good connection between the mouth and breath to see what, you know, even a word, you know, words would be impossible without breath, because we have to breathe and we utter these words. And Jesus said, my words are spirit and they bring forth life. And I make the case that the devil's words are spirit as well, but they bring forth death, because that's what the Lord said. He said, if you partake of this tree, you will surely die. And I really believe that at the essence, the very thing that Satan did to promote this deception was he spoke. It was his words, which then entered into the minds and the psyche of Adam and Eve, and it started altering their thoughts. And it was what they were thinking, where they were under the wing of the Lord and under his protection and all just in the Lord, just totally just within the Lord, within the confines of the Lord, and there were no interruptions, no intrusions, and that was infiltrated, that was breached. So then these lies started seeping in, and it's who knows how long it took. Maybe it is the same type of a scenario, perhaps, as it was with Lucifer when he fell. Who knows how long it took for what the Bible calls the iniquity that was found in him. Who knows how long that took to fester, how long it festered down in there until it finally, it could have been hundreds, thousands, millions of years as we would perceive it. Likewise with Adam and Eve. Who knows how long they were in the Garden of Eden? Who knows how long it took till it just finally was with, you know, maybe even God's grace was at work to where it was like, I give them space to repent. If they just repent, and I heal them, and you know. But it got to the point where, sorry, no can do. And hey, that's just how it is. Okay, so let's head into the scriptures and just look through some of these things just to look at what thoughts are and how they are, how they operate. I mean, I don't even know if it's that so much how they operate, because who really knows how thoughts operate? But we know that we have them. And what God's desire is for our thoughts to be aligned with His. Because our thoughts can be so random and incoherent sometimes. So, and the starting place is appropriately Genesis chapter 6. Okay, Genesis chapter 6. For those of you that are new to the Christian life, or perhaps you've been a Christian for any number of years or any length of time, have you considered Genesis chapter 6? Because I can tell you, there's millions of people that do not know this, that have been sitting in church for months, years, decades, and have never heard this. It's been held back. Romans talks about how these wicked men, these wicked fallen ones, essentially, these are essentially demonized, some of them may be actually fallen ones, that have actually been teaching doctrines of demons and holding back the truth in all unrighteousness. So part of their plan and desire would be to not let people know about this. That's why the Bible that we read and the Bible that we believe makes this perfectly clear. So we're going to enunciate it, we're going to pronounce it, we're going to declare it, we're going to read it, we're going to believe it. And if you don't, you're on your way to deception. You're on your way to being deceived, because this is real. In Genesis chapter 6, fallen angels, what the term used is the sons of God, saw these beautiful women, and they lusted after them. And they came down, they breached into the realm of humanity, into this dimensional plane, what we know as our dimension, the third dimension, so to speak. And they had intercourse and infiltrated humanity that way. Now, consider what he says in Hebrews, how you can entertain angels without knowing it. He says you may entertain angels unawares. I believe that there's a race of angels that look like men. That would, to me, would explain the depictions of the angels that we see in the New Testament. Angels that came to an angel that came to Mary, Gabriel. The angels that were in the tomb. Angels that came to some of the apostles. Angels that were with the disciples when they were watching Jesus ascend, and they asked them, what are you looking for? What are you looking up for? And they're looking at the Lord, and then they told them that remember that. He's going to come back in the same fashion. So there's angelic beings that we're dealing with here. And who knows how many races of angels there are. Who knows how many different tribes or different... We know at least there's seraphim and there's cherubim. Who knows how many there are, ultimately. But that remains to be seen. But we got to know that, hey, this ain't just about human beings, and this was no sons of Seth coming into the daughters of men. What would be the big deal about that? You know? The Israelites had mixed marriages all through the course of the Old Testament. God didn't have to destroy the world. You know, why would the sons of Seth matter at that point? Come on. There's more to it than this. So they came in to the sons of the daughters of men and produced offspring. These offspring became known as the Nephilim. The key verse that I want to look at is verse 5, where he says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Continually. And Psalm 2, this is another clear indication of what we're dealing with. And know that this is truly exacerbated in today's world, because we're living in this right now. Jesus said the end of the age would be like the days of Noah and the days of Lot. In Psalm 2, chapter 2, he says, "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing, saying, 'Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us.'" This right here, what we're seeing here, are the kings of the earth. These would be the powers in earthly terms. These are men, kings of the earth, the higher echelon. Now, don't think about it so much in terms of the ancient days of, you know, the days of David and the Psalms and you know, prehistoric time. Think of this now. Think of the kings of the earth, the rulers of the earth, and all the powers, all the famous people, the rich especially. We're dealing with powers, kings, rulers in the world, earthly men that have an abundance of money and power. And it says right here that they take counsels with the rulers. The rulers are these fallen ones. Men are in covenant with these fallen ones. And they're manipulating thoughts. They're establishing belief systems. None of it's even real. None of it is real. They made up the Wall Street. They made up the stock exchange. None of it's real. And I'm telling you, we waste a lot of time. You know, a lot of us like watching the news. A lot of us like watching sports. You want to get to the place where you don't care about it. Even, you know, sometimes, look, I'm just being honest. You just want to kick back, watch a game or something. There ain't much else to do. Because what's out there in entertainment land is largely just so perverted and twisted. But what I'm saying is, where I'm at is, you look at it and it still gives you this sinking. You can't get into it. You can't really sink your teeth into it anymore like you were when you were a kid. Because now it's all steeped in arrogance and pride, and really it's just stupid when you think about it. The whole premise is stupid. I mean, guys playing a game. You watch the end of a baseball game and the guys are skipping and dancing and, you know, doing their little dances in the field, and just like football, it's all the same. Basketball, it's all the same. It's all the same. But look, the point is you want to have the mindset that's just just steeped in the fact that this is wrong. Everything about this is wrong. You know, it's not to say that, you know, the truth of the matter too is don't read too much into, you know, it's you want to be able to have some kind of recreation, so to speak. Look at it this way. You're ministering to somebody in the world, and they like baseball. You watch baseball. You know a little bit about baseball. You can talk to the person. You know, you don't want to have an attitude that's like, look, man, baseball is idolatry. You're an idolater. You know, I've been there, done that. It doesn't work, you know. So be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. You don't want to be an idolater yourself. That's the thing. Because if you have that mindset that knows deep down, you know, you just know, look, this is stupid. You want to get to the point where, you may watch the whole game, and by the time the game's over, you hadn't even thought about it again, win or lose. It doesn't matter. You know, you watch a game that you don't have any pony in the race just to kick around, and what I do is I root for the team that's losing, no matter what. I just root for the team that's losing. If they're tied, I just pick one. Okay, then the team that's losing, I root for them. Then if they take the lead, root for the other team. Because you just don't care. You just don't care. But we're dealing with a supernatural conspiracy to manipulate what I call the thought highway. There's highways of thoughts. And I'll show you this in the Bible. To me, it just makes sense. It makes sense. But there's a conspiracy to control thinking. And that's what everything having to do with anything that's esoteric or psychological is all about, thought. That's what the news is. All the news is doing is trying to control people's thoughts, trying to get them to be dependent on the system. They want you to think peace and safety. That's what the mantra is. That's what it's all leading down to this road of peace and safety. That's what all the everything to do. Now they're in Hungary. They've got all this terrible immigration. People are, you know, and they're, I guess largely they're coming from Syria. So all this oppression, which a lot of it is actually stimulated by the United States of America, this Roman power. This is Rome. You know what? Why does the United States have to have a military presence in essentially every country in the world, if not every country, a large majority of every country in the world has a U.S. presence there, be it military or be it diplomatic or whatever. But I'm primarily looking at military. We have a lot of military bases. So they've gone into all these Arab countries. You go, all you got to do is look it up on the internet. Ever since Bush Sr. and Saddam Hussein, when he went against Saddam Hussein, they took over Iraq. They got into Afghanistan, Pakistan, Libya, took care of Libya. Now they're working on Syria, Egypt, all regime changes. Something's going on here. Something's going on here. This is not a country of peace. This is a war machine. This is a war machine. So, man, it's time to just drop out all of that American pride and start realizing, look, I have respect for guys that have enough gonads to actually sign up for war. That's incredible. That's incredible. That's what we're looking for in the church, for guys to want to sign up for war. But this ain't a war in the flesh. We're not here to talk about trying to solve this, and we need to get somebody and go back and forth about it. No, we're here to end all that discussion. There's only one thing to be discussed, and that is, what is it going to take for Jesus Christ to be enthroned king here on earth? Because he's the only way out of here. He's the only way that this is going to be redeemed, that it's going to be solved. And to that end, just come to terms with the fact that it is written to be destroyed. It is going to be destroyed. So don't, why be dismayed when you see all the homosexuals just flaring up, forcing their sodomy down your throats, down our throats? You know, the woman, there's a woman in Kentucky that's just going against the Supreme Court. I don't, you know, one way or the other, my thing would be, okay, you got a job, that's your job. You know, if your job is to hand out marriage licenses, you hand out marriage licenses, okay? You're not responsible for the Supreme Court. You're not responsible for the law that they made. You're against it. But, okay, you're going to stand against that. All that, you know where that's going. You're done. You might as well, okay, why not, if you're a Christian, why not use the opportunity to minister to people, at least to warn them? Every marriage license you hand to a pair of homosexuals can be given to them thusly. You know, I know this is the law and all, and I'm just doing my job, but it's also my job to let you know that if you continue in that lifestyle, it's against God. You're sinning against God. It's an aberration. It's a perversion. And you need to turn away from the perversion, repent of your wickedness, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now, granted, you may only hand out one license at that point, but if you're going to get fired anyway, you know, why not at least go out preaching the gospel, you know? But hey, it's written. This stuff is coming down the pike. They're forming up their world, one world order. Everything it's coming over here big time. I mean, here in Phoenix, not too long ago, I read that one of the sheriffs, it wasn't Sheriff Joe, it was some other sheriff from another county, I think, is saying that they have Mexicans that have these basically, they're just cartel gang members or whatever, that are running illegal immigrants and drugs, and they have encampments out in the hills within 50 miles of Phoenix, strongholds where they're armed to the teeth in the mountains, in the hills, and they're just running their stuff. And we're a good about two hours from the border. I mean, and they're within 50 miles of Phoenix. I mean, this is crazy. Something's going down here. Something is going to be going down. And now's the time you want to get your thoughts in the right frame of mind. So, going back to Genesis chapter 6, the imagination of the thoughts of his heart, so that would pertain to individual human beings and humanity collectively, was only evil continually. The word imagination is the Hebrew word yaser, which is to frame or to fashion. But at the root of it has to do with squeezing or molding. So this is something that's actually being fashioned, I believe, supernaturally through these powers and through the avenues that they have access to, which are witchcraft and sorcery. That these are the thoughts, that this is how it's being fashioned. And then the word for thoughts is mahasabha. So the imaginations of the thoughts, so the framings of your very thoughts and your thinkings are being altered by supernatural powers. And so what you want to do is turn from that and let the Lord himself fashion us so that our thoughts are more in line with his, instead of having our own or the inspiration of thoughts that are coming from angelic fallen beings, which is just real. That's just where we're at. So Genesis 6, Psalm 2. Genesis 6, Psalm 2. Jesus saying, these are the days of Noah and the days of Lot. We're living in this. Okay, in the days of Noah, fallen angels come into the human realm, into the human arena, just like Thor came from Asgard or wherever it was, and through a portal came to the earth. This is the same thing. The devil is basically just broadcasting what he's doing. He's proud. He's promoting himself. And people are just like, oh, I love Thor. Marvel, Iron Man, all the superheroes. Which is exactly what he's saying here in verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children of them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown, heroes. Man, like the guy said, it ain't like we think. Things are not like we think. We need to think differently. We need to change our thinking and our thoughts so that we can understand what we're really dealing with. This is hardcore. Man, we got to forget the TV. Forget the MTV Awards. Forget all that stuff. People are just enamored with Miley Cyrus and Taylor Swift and all that stuff. And then they got them like going at each other like little like cats, you know, in a cat fight. And all this bad mouthing and gossip. That's the world. That's the world, and the world is totally crazy. Psalm 10. Let's look at Psalm 10. You know, you got to thank the Lord for the Bible. Psalm 10, and then just verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. God is not in all of his thoughts. The countenance, this is interesting, the pride of his countenance. The countenance actually has to do with nose or nostril. So when you think of nose, you think of nostril. What do you think? You think of breathing, one thing. When you tie it to pride, I see it as another way, as you know the saying that says you look down your nose at somebody. I guess that's just a highfalutin. I guess that's where that saying came from, where somebody would just look down their nose at you like, who are you, you peon? What are you looking at me? What do you think? You know, looking down your nose at somebody. It has to do with to breathe hard, though. That's the essence of it. It has to do with to breathe hard, to be enraged. That's what the word countenance means. So you're tying this all together with it's pride on the one side and thoughts at the other end. Pride and thoughts. They will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Now in the NASB, it says here for the end of verse 4, it says, all his thoughts are, there is no God. So there's, you know, that's what's so good about reading multiple versions of the Bible, because in the King James, it's definite that it's clear that he's saying God is not in all his thoughts, which also tells us that we need to have God in all of our thoughts. That's what I'm saying. Even when you're looking at a ball game, you're sitting there and you're like, Lord, you know, your mind is somewhere else, even though you're physically looking at something, you're engaging with something, but your mind is always stayed on the Lord. That's where He wants us. That's where we got to see. You got to be careful. You got to govern your thoughts so that you don't get too caught up in these things down here that we look at as sometimes innocuous, just a, you know, just a pastime, you know. Which, you know, you just don't want to waste too much time, though. We got a harvest that, at this point, we're still like sitting here waiting, almost with our hands tied, because largely there's no money, but more importantly, there's no power. We got to have power. We got to have